In the name of the Father,
and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Most of the great religions and philosophies of the world are devoted to dealing with the problem of suffering. There has always been, as long as anyone can remember, great suffering in the world. To minimize suffering. For some, this means a philosophy of success, a philosophy of accomplishment. How do you prepare yourself to go out in the world and succeed? Well, what's the point of succeeding? It's to have a life of pleasure, a life of enjoyment, a life of little suffering. In the time of Christ, in the time of St. Paul, preaching Christ crucified, it was the same. The great philosophies of the wisdom of the Greeks and the Romans had to do with how to minimize suffering. Those great philosophies are still studied, you know, today. I teach a course in some of them. And they focus on the problem of how to minimize suffering. Even amongst the great religions, and we'll pick just one example, around on the other side of the world from where Jesus was, a teaching would arise that said that you can destroy suffering, which is the main problem in life after all, by putting an end to desire. If there is nothing that you desire, then you won't suffer. But the point is to destroy suffering. The thing that is unique about the Christian faith is that it has to do with suffering in a way that no philosophy and no religion does. As I recall Father Paul Tarazi teaching at seminary, he said, God took suffering and he gave it the power to transform us. We would rather that he had eliminated suffering. We would rather that he would have made the world so that we could live without him, and so that there was never any cause to turn to God and say, why, God, are you allowing me to suffer? Because that 9 times out of 10 is how God gets our attention. And God gets a lot of criticism from the right and the left for having created a world where there is suffering, where there are hurricanes, where there are disasters like those in Haiti, and where the innocent suffer. God ought to have created a world where we could have lived comfortably without him. Because then we'd never have to turn to God. We'd be completely satisfied with the things of the world. Which, for the most part, after all, we are, unless we're suffering. Now, this business of how suffering came into the world, it's another issue. We can't deal with it now. But let it be enough to say that when it comes to the issue of suffering, St. Paul's teaching is quite different from that of the wisdom traditions of the Greeks and the Romans or the other great religions of the Far East. And yet he is teaching and preaching to the same people. His two letters to the people at Corinth are actually quite large. They take a lot of teaching. They take a lot of instruction. Sometimes we don't realize. But just the two letters that he wrote to the church at Corinth, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, are equal in length the gospel according to St. Mark. And of course, St. Paul's letters are much earlier than the gospel according to St. Mark. The new Christian faith had a kind of popularity. It was an in thing. There were people who wanted to be members of the Christian faith, who wanted to be baptized Christians, who weren't necessarily interested in Paul's central message. And so, in these passages that we heard this morning, he is saying to the people in Corinth, I didn't come to baptize. I didn't come to bring more people in to that. I came to preach the gospel. And what does he say that the gospel is? I came to preach Christ crucified. And this is a message. The message of Christ crucified that focuses on this question of suffering in a new kind of way. This Christian faith is not promising an end to suffering. In fact, Jesus came and he spoke most often to those who were suffering, to the poor, to those who were ill, to those who had lived lives of pain in front of fountains that were supposed to heal them, and yet they weren't healed. He came to all of them, and he healed many of them to show who he was, but he didn't come just to heal all who were in pain. He came to overcome the power of suffering, to overcome the power of suffering by overcoming death itself. The message of Christ crucified that Paul is preaching to the Corinthians and that many of them are reinterpreting in more world-affirming kinds of ways is that we do not need the wisdom of the world. The suffering that comes into our lives should be embraced and transform us into being like Christ. Our suffering in the world is joined, if we are Christians, baptized into his life, to his suffering on the cross, and that suffering is already overcome. Now we as Americans, we don't want to hear mostly about suffering. We've created interpretations of the Christian faith that are about success. We've created interpretations of the New Testament that claim that things are fine until you die. Get all you can. Be successful. God will help you. And at the end, you'll be left off the hook because God has already paid that price. And suffering doesn't need to come into it at all. And when someone suffers, people even dare to turn to those Christians that have completely reinterpreted the faith that St. Paul was preaching so that there's no suffering involved in it. And they say, how come God lets these things happen? You say you're a Christian, but you believe in a God that lets terrible things happen. And when you hear people talking like that, you know they have never heard the Christian message. Because the Christian message deals with the fact that we live in a world of suffering. Not all of the success and all of the rising general product, whatever it is, and wealth in the world is going to deal with the problem. You're not going to wealth the problem of suffering out of existence. As a matter of fact, even those who are wealthy, they're suffering too. They find that their wealth doesn't mean that much to them. They haven't resolved the problem. The problem of suffering is still there. It still exists. It's still central to our lives. St. John Chrysostom says, those who reject the teaching of the Christian faith, that suffering, embracing it, accepting it, and passing through it, seeing it destroyed by the fact that Christ God has already destroyed the power of death, people who reject that message, they cannot see the means of salvation. The means of salvation almost always have to do with some kind of suffering, because even if it comes down to something as simple as fasting, we are denying the body what it would like to have in order to forget that it needs God. Now that's not terrific suffering, but it is a kind of spiritual education. It educates us to the point that when difficult things come, we accept them and we embrace them and we praise God because here is a transforming experience. For a Christian is one who can bless in the midst of suffering and not curse, because our suffering is united to the suffering of God Himself on the cross. Chrysostom also says that those who suffer over a long period of time, Christians he means, Christians whose lives are being purified by a suffering that is at one with the suffering of God, gain a kind of peace. Their souls stop thrashing around, he says. But these are truths that for the most part only the monks know deeply, because they conflict with our desire to always be eating what is sweet, to always be taking what is of the best, never to suffer. And our understanding, most of the time, of religion is what we turn to so that we don't ever have to suffer. But no one who is a true Christian has ever preached that faith. We say these things because St. Paul is focusing on the teaching of the suffering Christ on the cross. And today is a day that we especially remember the cross. The cross and the overcoming of suffering and death is the center of our faith. Now, Christians don't add suffering. We can think of those crazy monks in the movies who are thrashing themselves so that they can suffer. Not necessary. Why? Because there's plenty of suffering in the world already. We don't need to manufacture more of it. We already manufacture too much of it by doing things that are wrong to others and to the world. Suffering and death are in the world because human beings choose to do things against God. Suffering and death are the enemy. They are overcome. But Christianity is about joy. Christianity is about life. Even though suffering is in the world, it has been overcome. And the cross, for Orthodox at least, is immediately a sign of the resurrection, the new life that lies beyond our domination by suffering. And so, as we begin a very brief fasting season, the 2-week fast in preparation for the celebration of the falling asleep of Mary, the Mother of God, the Dormition of the Theotokos, let's take these things into account and realize that we are not accepting additional suffering upon ourselves by beginning to fast. We are only reminding ourselves by denying the body the things that it wants most in order to be able to completely forget God. We are denying those things to the body for the time being, in order to lead the body into a remembrance of where the center of our life actually is. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.